Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Balak. The title of the shiur tonight is The Miracle of the Donkey's Speech. So tonight we're going to look at the whole incident with Bilam and his donkey, and the famous miracle of the donkey seeing a malach and speaking. And we'll try to tackle the most basic question, which is, what's the purpose of this miracle? Why did this miracle need to happen? And how did it function in terms of dealing with Bilam on his quest to curse the Jewish people? So that's really what the shiur is going to take up tonight. And we'll start by reading through the psukim of the story in source number one, which is Bamidbar Perichlof Beis, starting with Pasuk Chof. All right, so the story goes as follows. It says, Vayavo Elokim el Bilam Laila Vayomer Loim Lukro Lecha Bo Hanashim Kum Lechitam Be'achista Varashir Adaberi Lecho So Sasa. So at first, Bilam doesn't want to go, or he's waiting for permission to go with the servants of Balak. And Hashem comes to Bilam at night, and he says, "If you want to go with these individuals, but you're going to say what I'm going to tell you to say, and you're going to do what I'm going to tell you to do." So Vayakom Bilam Babukir Vayachavush Asasono Vayilechim Sarei Moav. So Bilam follows in the morning. He saddles his donkey and he goes with Sarei Moav, with the servants of Moav. So Hashem gets angry that Bilam is going to curse the Jewish people, and he places a malach on the path in order to create an adversary for him. And he's riding on his donkey with two na'arim, two youths next to him. So this donkey sees the malach, and it has a sword in its hand, and the donkey gets scared, and it goes off the path, and Bilam hits his donkey. So the second incident is where Bilam is riding on his donkey, and he's in the vineyards, and there's a fence from one side to another. So the donkey gets scared, and it jams Bilam's leg into the fence, and Bilam gets upset, and he hits the donkey again. So the third incident is now Bilam is riding on his donkey in a very narrow space, and there's no place to go for the donkey. So the third time, the donkey ends up sitting down because it has nowhere to go and it's scared of the malach, and Bilam gets upset and he hits the donkey again. Hashem opens up the mouth of the donkey, and the donkey says to Bilam, "Why have you hit me these three times? What have I done to you?" So Bilam's response is that you've made a mockery of me, and if I had a sword, I would kill you. So the donkey says back to Bilam, "I've been your trustworthy donkey for all these years, and I've never caused you any harm. So is that the case?" And Bilam agrees. He says, "No, you've never caused me harm. You never tried to harm me." And then Bilam's eyes are open, and he sees this malach in the path of his donkey, and he bows down. So the malach says to Bilam, "Why have you hit your donkey these three times?" So he says that the donkey saw the malach, and he was scared these three times. So he's scared that he's going to be killed. So Bilam apologizes and he says to the malach, "I didn't see you, and if you want, I'll return back." The malach says, "No, go with the Sarei Balak, and whatever I'm going to tell you, that's what you're going to say." Okay, so this is the basic story of the beginning of the Parsha of Balak and Bilam. And it's a story about Bilam, how he goes on this path with his donkey. And there are two important points that we're going to take up in the Shir, which are that there's two parts to the miracle of the donkey. The first is in Pasuk Chav Zayin. It says, Vatera ha'ason es malach ha'roshem, that the ason, and it's in Chav Hei also, that the ason continues to see the malach. So what kind of idea is it? What's the purpose of the of this donkey being able to see a malach in its path? So that's the first basic question. What's the purpose of this miracle? And the second is the more obvious question, which is the famous miracle where the donkey speaks. And of course, we know that a donkey isn't capable of speaking. It's capable of communicating, but not with human language. So it's strange that the donkey is given this power to speak to Bilam. So aside from trying to understand how the miracle works, we're going to try to understand what the purpose of the miracle was. Why was it necessary for Bilam to see his donkey speak? Why did Hashem create this situation where the donkey would speak? So that's the question of the Shir. So two basic questions on the Parsha. And one would think, reading this Parsha so many times over the years, that the answer would be obvious, but I don't think it's so obvious. So the questions, again, are what's the purpose of the miracle of the donkey? Why was it necessary for the donkey to see the Malach, and also the donkey to respond and to speak to Bilam? So if you look in source number two, just to add to the questions, one other point. The Kesher Yonasan brings down a famous idea, a famous chazal. It's also brought down in Avos. And it says, Asar Dvarim Nivru Acharei Shekalu Ha'olam Be'erv Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. There were ten creations that were created Bein Hashmashos, in the after sunset, before Tzeis HaKochavim, of creation before Shabbos started. And what were those ten creations? Mon Ube'er Umata Shel Moshe. So the Mon was one, the well of Miriam, the Mata of Moshe, the stick of Moshe, Vishamir, that was the worm that could cut the stones for the Mishkan, Vikeshes, the rainbow, Vanane Kavod, and the famous clouds that protected the Jews in the Midbar, Upia Aretz, and also the mouth of the ground that swallowed up Korach, the Chsav Luchos Abris, and the first Luchos, the writing, was a miracle, Umazikim, the demons, Upia Dibor HaAson, and the last one is the ability of the donkey to speak. Bahisha Pasach Ma'amaro Shal Adashem Es Pia, Vizdamin La Dibor. At that moment that Bilam was riding on the donkey, Hashem opened up the mouth of the donkey and had this prepared speech. So the Kesher Yonasan quotes a famous chazal that say that there are 10 creations that are created Bein Hashmashos, so after sunset on Erev Shabbos of creation, and one of those was this famous miracle of the donkey speaking. So the question is, aside from what the purpose of the miracles were in terms of Bilam, another question is, what is this idea of the 10 creations that were created at this Zman? They weren't created in the normal times of creation, but they were created at the very, very end, right before Shabbos. And why does this creation of the donkey speaking fit into those 10? How does it fit into those 10? Is there a theme or is there a concept that could explain what this miracle is and what's so special about this miracle that it was created after creation? Okay, so those are the three questions. The first question, again, is how could the donkey see? The second, or what's the purpose of its sight of the Malach? The second question is what's the purpose of its speech to Bilam? And the third question is what is the concept that this miracle was created at the very end of creation? Now, what is that trying to teach us about the nature of this miracle? So those are the three basic questions of the Shir. So to answer some of those questions, not outright, but to start answering them, there's a beautiful Ramban in source number three that we're going to read through, and it'll open up the door for us to analyze the idea of the Nes a little further. So if you look in source number three, the Ramban is on Parachaf Beis Pasuk Chaf Gimel, and it says Vatera Hason Es Malach Ad Hashem. So he says Malachi Hashem Hasichliyim Hanivdalim Lo Yiru Lechushainayim. So the first point he says is that malachim, which are intelligences that are non-physical, cannot be seen by a person's eyes. Ki enam guf nispas b'mare, they're not part of a normal vision. They're not subject to normal sight. V'chasher yiru l'neviim, o l'anshei haruach hakodesh, ki Daniel yasigu osam b'maros hanefesh hamesakeles, kasher tagiu l'mala hanavua u l'madrega shetachtea. So the way that neviim perceive Malachim is not through sight. It's not through their normal vision, but it's through their level and their intelligence. It's not a sight. It's not the sense of sight, but it's an idea of perception. So the idea is that Nevi'im are able to perceive Malachim, but they're not able to see them with their normal sense of sight. So based on that principle, the Ramban says that an animal cannot see a malach, because an animal doesn't have the ability to perceive the way that a man can perceive. And it's not just, a malach can't just be seen by the naked eye. So how can an animal see a malach? It's impossible. So what does he do with the Torah? So it says, Al-kein tucha lefarish v'atera ha'ason. So what does it mean that the donkey saw? Ki hirgisha bedavar mafchid osa milavor. It simply means that the donkey, he could sense that there was something in front of him. He couldn't see anything with his eyes, but he can sense it. Hargasha is a feeling. V'hu ha'malach asher yata l'satan. So the Ramban's first point is that the donkey couldn't actually see the malach, because the sight of a malach isn't one of a natural sense, a sense of sight or vision, but the sight of a malach means perceiving a malach, and an animal isn't capable of that. So what does it mean that the animal, the donkey, saw the malach? It means that the donkey sensed that there was something in front of it. He says, Ke'ein v'libi ra harbe chachm v'das. So an example of this is in Koheles, when Shlomo says, my heart sees a lot of chachma and knowledge, wisdom and knowledge. Yomar al ha'saga lo al ha'ru'us. It doesn't mean to see in terms of the sense of sight, your vision, but it means understanding or sensing, like a certain sense, a sense that something is there. V'chasher ira b'hanes v'sam la habora ha'dibor. And when the nes occurred to the donkey and the speech was placed in its mouth, amra l'bilam, Haskenis ganti laso sochako. The donkey says, have I ever endangered you? Avalo yada lama asasa atakein ki la'onsa nasa bakach. The donkey wasn't aware of what was happening to it. It just happened to it. The donkey doesn't have a mind. It doesn't have perception. So it simply sensed that there was something scary in front of it. And also, furthermore, it wasn't really in control of its faculties when the nes occurred. Ulafichach lo amra lo hinei malach Hashem ome lenegdi v'charbo shluf abiyado ki lo also hasagasa ledase klal. So the proof for this, that the animal didn't become a thinking animal, was that he never says to Bilam, I saw a malach. So the Ramban says, the fact that the donkey never admits to seeing the malach shows you that the donkey was just a tool in this situation. He was just a vehicle. And he didn't have the sight of the malach. He just sensed that there was something scary in front of him. And he never mentions to Bilam, I saw a malach, because he never did see a malach. He's simply just a tool or vehicle of this dibor. He says, V'omar, v'teres malach ad Hashem b'char bo shulufa b'yado. So what does it mean that the donkey actually saw it, saw the malach with a sword? Lo shetira cherev af ki malach. It doesn't mean that he actually saw a sword, the donkey, or it saw the malach. Aval yirmos ha'kasav, ki mepnei ha'yos ha'malach, nachol nahakos b'charada charada gedola. All it means is that the donkey was so afraid it felt like it was about to be slaughtered. And that's the expression of the sense or the feeling that the donkey had. So now he goes off on a little tangent. He says, let's say malachim are really, they really appear like human beings. Kasher hiskarti v'parshas vayera. That's the Ramban's approach. Yusku af le'enei abehemos. Maybe you'll say that animals could see it as well. Im kain ech lo yirani Bilam. Sorry, if that were the case, how could Bilam not see the malach? If an animal could see a malach, and a malach is just a normal, something normal that you can see in your line of vision, so why didn't Bilam see it? Velo huka
b'samvirim.
Hello?
Yes. Hey, something is wrong with the phone. I tried calling from two different phones, and it sounds like really choppy.
Do you want me to call back in? I'll call back in a second. Yeah, let me call back in.
Okay.
Give me one sec. All right, so we were discussing the Ramban. So the Ramban says that the donkey didn't actually see the malach, because a malach is not something that could be seen by the naked eye. It's an idea of perception. But he tries to prove it from the fact that the malach never says to Bilam, I saw a malach, meaning that the donkey simply sensed that there was something scary in front of it, but it didn't actually see the malach. But now he's trying a different approach, and he's saying perhaps the donkey did see the malach, because he says that malachim do appear like human beings. So he says, Im kain, eich lo yiranu Bilam. We're in the end of the Ramban. He says, if that were the case, then how could Bilam not see the malach? The luhuka b'samverim. It wasn't like Bilam was blind. So his question is, if a malach is something that can be seen by the naked eye, so why didn't Bilam see it? Avayitachin shehosef ba'asagas einayam yishehosef ba'adibor v'rasa ka'adam. V'lo hiskir ba'akasu v'yigal Hashem einay ason kasher hiskir ba'adoneha. So he says that, he says now, shehosef ba'asagas einayam yishehosef ba'adibor v'rasa ka'adam. Maybe you'll say that the same way that Hashem created a miracle that it could speak, it also created a miracle that the donkey could see, the malach. But the psukim don't mention that. And the psukim don't say that the eyes of the Ason saw the malach, that it was revealed to the Ason. Kashir hiskir ba'adonea, by Bilam it says, Vayigal Hashem esenei Bilam, but it doesn't say that by the Ason. Ki ha'inyon kulo ba'ason nes gadol kabriya chadasha b'nivra ben ashmasho se'eno nekra gilo enayim bilvad. So he goes off with the same idea. He wants to prove his point, which is that the re'iyas ha'ason, the sight of the Ason, wasn't really a miracle. And in fact, it was simply that the Ason sensed that there was something scary in front of it. He says, Aval Rabusin liyaskir benisim rak psichas pia v'tamane sazeh. Okay, so he says that also when the Gemara mentions in Avos, the Mishnah mentions the 10 things that were created, it doesn't mention the ability of the donkey to see the malach, only the ability of the donkey to speak. So the first point of the Ramban, which is the Ramban argues with the other Rishonim, is that the ability of the donkey to see the malach was not really a nes. It wasn't really a sight. It was simply just a sense that the donkey had that there was something that he should be afraid of in front of him, or her, whatever the donkey was. But the donkey was afraid. So the point is that that's not a miracle. But what is the miracle? The miracle really is the ability of a donkey to speak. And that was the miracle. And that's mentioned in the Mishnah Avos, and the Kesher Yonason brought it down. So what's the purpose of that miracle? So now he explains. He says, V'tam ha'nisa zeh, we're at the very end of the Ramban in source number 3. What is the reason for this nis? L'haros le'bilam, mi sam pe la'adam, o mi asum ilem. So he's trying to show Bilam this concept that who creates a mouth for man and who can create a mute? Meaning Hashem. L'hodiyu ki Hashem poseach pi ha'nelmim, that Hashem has the ability to open up the mouth of the mute to make them speak. V'chol shekein, and also he can shut the mouth of a person who wants to speak. Gam yasim b'piyam devarim ledaber kirtzono ki hakol b'yado. And Hashem could implant words into a person's mouth, and he can control that. And he was trying to warn Bilam that he shouldn't go after the path of sorcery, because Bilam was a sorcerer, according to the Ramban. Okay, so the end of the Ramban says, what is the purpose of the nes, of the donkey speaking? To teach this concept to Bilam, that mi sam pe la'adam o mi yasum ilem, that who creates a mouth for man and who can create a mute. And that's the main concept. So he was expressing this through the donkey. The idea that Hashem controls speech and he can make the donkey speak was proof to Bilam that he shouldn't have in mind to go curse the Jews, and that anything that Bilam was going to attempt to say, Hashem was going to control with this, with the miracle, and control his speech. So there's a couple questions on this Ramban. So it sounds very nice, but the question is, why did Bilam have to see this through a miracle? Meaning, what's the idea of the miracle here? We see in another place in the Torah a very similar concept. I don't know if anybody remembers, but this same concept is expressed to Moshe in Shemos. So, but by Shemos, it wasn't expressed in a miracle. It was simply expressed ideationally, conceptually. Hashem says to Moshe, mi sam pe la'adam, mi yasum ilem. So according to the Ramban, who says that the whole purpose was to demonstrate to Bilam that Hashem controls speech and he can make a person speak who can't speak, he can stop a person from speaking, he can control their speech. So if that's the whole purpose, so why couldn't he just teach that idea to Bilam in a nevuah, or just give it over to him? Why, what was the necessity of the miracle in this situation, according to this reasoning? And furthermore, like we said, we see this with regard to Moshe. So is there, aside from the point before, which is that Moshe was just taught this idea, and this seems to be an obvious idea, but the question is there a comparison between the two situations by Moshe and Bilam? And also, what's the depth of, why is this idea such a deep idea? Did Bilam really not think that Hashem had the ability to control speech or to do this? So what exactly was Bilam's mindset, and what was the purpose of the miracle? But at least the Ramban gives us an opening to analyze on a deeper level what the purpose, the function of the miracle was, by teaching us that it's to teach Bilam, or to tell Bilam, this idea of mi sam pe la'adam o mi yasum ilem. So let's look at the Shemos by Moshe Rabbeinu, and we'll look at the Ramban over there, and then we'll come to an idea as to what the purpose of the nace was. What was Bilaam's mindset, and what was the purpose of this nace? So if you look in Shmos, in source number 4 on the source sheets, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tes, Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis, it says, V'ya im lo yaminu gam l'shnei usosa eile, v'lo yishmu'un l'kolecha, v'lakachta b'meimeha yor v'shafachta yabasha, v'yu amayim asher tikach min ayor, v'yu l'dam v'yabashas. Moshe is afraid that the Jews aren't going to listen to him, and Hashem gives him the first os, which is dam. He's going to take water, and it's going to turn into blood. Vayomer Moshe al Hashem bi Adonai lo ish dvarim anochi gam etmo gam shel shom gam az dabrecha avdecha ki chavad pe uchvad lashon anochi. So Hashem says, no, don't send me. I mean, Moshe says, don't send me because I have difficulty speaking and I have a heavy mouth and a heavy tongue. Vayomer Hashem elav mi sam pe la adam o mi asum ilim o cheresh o bikach o iver halo anochi ad Hashem. And then Hashem responds, who creates a mouth for man? And who creates a mute, or a person who's a deaf mute, or a person who's healthy, or a person who's blind? And Hashem says to Moshe, go and be the shaliach, and I'll tell you what to say. So we see the same concept that is being expressed to Bilaam, according to the Ramban, through the nace of the donkey, is being expressed to Moshe over here. When Moshe is afraid to go, he doesn't want to go. He's not afraid, but he's humble, and he doesn't want to go. And Hashem says the same idea, Misam Pelo Adam. So what is this idea? What is this concept? Why did Moshe, what did Moshe not know? And what is Hashem teaching Moshe by this point? So let's look at the Ramban in source number 5. So the Ramban helps us on those psukim, and he says, Misam Pelo Adam, Dibor. It doesn't mean the physical mouth, but it means speech. And Hashem is saying to Moshe, who created speech? Bavor Yoso Bepeh. It's in the mouth. It comes out of the mouth, but he's really referring to speech, the ability to speak. V'chein sofa achas medabros sfas kanan. These are other examples where it's referring to speech. Omi asum ilem. The Ramban goes on. He says, who creates a mute? Pirshu bo, the Rambam explains, shehu nimshach l'adam, also referring to a man who's mute. Omi asum adam ilem, meaning who creates a man who's mute? Klomar, meaning to say, mi bara adam shu ilem v'yisimu l'adam. So he says, who creates a man who is mute and also places it in a man? But then he asks, you can't really place mute, being a mute isn't something that's a positive. It's not something. It's the lack of, the absence of speech. Then he says, Vulai ba'avur hayos ba'adam nefesh medaberes. So the Ramban says that in man, there's a soul that speaks. Ve'ha'ilmen bi'yos ba'hem otem be'gide ha'lashon ya'almu. So what causes somebody to be mute? Maybe it's a problem with the nerves of the tongue. The person who's mute, he can't speak because there's a physiological problem with the tongue. But really, he has a nefesh medaberes. Yitachin lomar miyasum ha'ilmus. So he's trying to explain how being mute could be something that's placed in man. So he says this is an example where a person could speak internally. He has a nefesh medaberes, but there's some physiological problem with his tongue and his mouth. And he says, "Varav Amar b'moranavuchem ki ameser kinyan yomar bo shapal afisa." So he wants to say, the Rambam says that removing property creates a positive of an absence of property. Ki yomru b'mish yich be'aner shehiv yachoshech. That we say when a person puts out the light, so the darkness comes. He brought the darkness. So even though darkness is just a lack of light, sometimes removing something can create a positive. This is a point in the Rambam. It's a logical point. So the Rambam gives an example of Yotzer or creates or fashions or uvorei choshech and creates a darkness, meaning that even through the absence of something, you can create something else. That's the Rambam's point. But the Ramban says over here that the same concept. He says misam pel adam o miyasum ilem, which is the same concept that the miracle of the donkey is trying to teach Bilaam. And he explains that it's referring to speech. And then he ties it into this idea that I think is a key idea, which is that he says there's a nefesh medaberes, that there's a soul that speaks, and ilmus, and the inability to speak, is tied to a physiological problem. So we're going to take that idea, that concept of a nefesh medaberes, and try to expand on that idea, and maybe get to a deeper point over here in the purpose of the nace. Okay, so one last point, number 6, and then we'll get to start answering the questions. So number 6, the Hadar Zakenim says, Misam pe klomar pe chadash ani borei. So he says that I can create a new mouth, So Hashem is explaining to Moshe that I can create a peh, so even more so, I can fix your speech, I can fix your mouth. It can't be that he was a stutterer. He wasn't an orator. He wasn't very verbose. But he says, no, the pshat is that Moshe had trouble speaking, and Hashem was teaching him that he could fix his speech. So the question is, it's a similar question by Bilam, which is, what is the havamina of Moshe and Bilam that that their speech cannot be affected by Hashem? And what's Hashem teaching them when he says, Misam Pela Adam, O Miyasum Ilem? So those are the main questions. And then if we answer those questions, we can go back to the original questions of the Shir, which deal with the nes of the donkey. So I wanted to take up the Ramban. He says the nefesh, there's a nefesh medaberes. There's a soul that speaks. I think that's a critical idea. And with that, we'll try to start answering the questions. Look in source number 7. So I was thinking about this point. It says, Vayitzer, this is going back to Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin. It says, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es ha'adam afar min ha'adama v'yipach be'apav nishmas chayim v'yi adam l'nefesh chaya. So in the creation of man, it says that man was created physically from the dirt of the ground, and Hashem blew into the nostrils of man a living soul. Man became a living being, a living soul. So that's the pasuk. So many of the Rishonim comment the same way that Rashi comments. He says, "Lenefesh chaya." So what does it mean, a living soul? So in source number 8, he says, "Af behema v'chaya nikru nefesh chaya." Even animals are called that. Ach zushal adam chaya shebekulan. So the one of man is the most living, is the most exists the most. Shenitosef bo dea v'dibor, because man has an added feature. So it has the feature of both being able to think and being able to communicate and speak in a clear way, the way that humans speak. So Rashi explains that one of the main characteristics that differentiate man from animal is man's ability to think in the abstract. I think that's what he means by dea, not just to think, but to think in the abstract. And also dibor, man's ability to communicate in the way that we communicate is distinct from the rest of animals, from other animals. So what exactly, so we see that that's a critical idea in man, that man is differentiated from the animals in this fashion, in this manner. So the question is, so what can we do with this idea? Why did I bring this in? What is this, the concept here? So I think the concept, to go back to the whole main question, is that speech seems to be a unique feature of the human, or the way humans speak is a unique feature of the human mind or the human soul. So the mind and the soul are a little bit different, but really when a person speaks, he's just really communicating that which are in his internal thoughts and in his internal self. So when you think about something, your speech is a communication, is a verbalization of your inner thoughts. So the idea is that speech is really not an idea in itself. It doesn't exist on its own, but it's really, its real essence is really the thoughts of man or the emotions of man. The internal aspects of man are really the essence of speech, because they really determine what the person's going to speak about and what the value of the speech is. And the speech is secondary. It's really a secondary component to the nefesh ha'adam, to the soul of man, the internal aspects of man. And I think that's a critical point. So with that idea, with that concept, that really speech is not essential, it doesn't exist on its own, but it's really secondary to the human soul, it's really secondary to the internal nature of man, because speech is just conveying what man is thinking, or what man feels inside. Speech is a way to convey that. But the essence of speech is really internal, is really what comes from the inside of man, the thoughts themselves, or the emotions. And the speech is just putting that into language, putting it into words. So if you view speech as just an aspect of the mind, or of the, I keep saying the mind, but it's really the internal aspects of man. So if you view speech secondary to that, so now you can understand what Bilam and Moshe's Havamina was. So their Havamina was that speech, in order to affect speech, you have to affect the internal nature of man. That you can't affect speech outside of the internal nature of man, because speech itself is just an outgrowth of what man's thoughts are and what man's emotions are. So if that's the case, they couldn't envision a possibility of Hashem interacting with just speech alone, with just helping Moshe in his speech, or helping or shutting Bilam down in a speech. Meaning to say that Moshe felt like he couldn't communicate properly in front of Paro. And the idea Moshe had was that the Hashgacha couldn't just separate speech from Moshe himself, from the internal nature of Moshe and his desire and what he wanted to express to Paro, that that couldn't be separated. The two can't be separated. And therefore, Moshe maintained or believed that it was impossible, that there was no way for him to be able to stand before Paro and be able to communicate effectively. But Hashem was trying to show Moshe a chiddush, and he's trying to show Bilam a chiddush. And the chiddush is that Hashem is capable of separating speech, even though speech is secondary to the human internal condition, the internal nature of man. Hashem is able to separate speech from its source, from the soul of man, and just have a creation of speech per se, speech for itself. And that's what Hashem is trying to teach Moshe and teach Bilam, that Moshe was taught this idea, this concept, that even though he felt, or Moshe understood it, that speech couldn't be affected outside of affecting the human soul, but Hashem was teaching Moshe that, no, there is, that Hashem has the ability, the capabilities of separating speech from its source, and speech can be an independent entity. And the same was being taught to Bilam, and that's a chiddush. And the chiddush was through the donkey, that the nase of the donkey was trying to show Bilam what the Ramban says in source number 3, which is that you have an animal that has no intellect, real intellect, abstract intellect. It has no soul, like man's soul. And nevertheless, it's able to communicate in the way that a human's able to communicate. Meaning that Hashem is showing Bilam that he has a misconception, that Bilam maintains or believes that he can curse the Jews, because the Hashgacha are stopping him, or stopping his speech, would require that God affect his internal self, what he's thinking, what he's trying to do, what he's attempting to do. And the Hashgacha doesn't relate to that. But the idea that Hashem's teaching Bilam and Moshe is that speech can be separated from its source, that there's an independent creation of speech that can exist outside of a human soul, outside of a human intellect, and human emotions. And the idea of the donkey, of the nase of the donkey, is to try to show Bilam that this concept, that Bilam believed that he can go on to curse the Jews. He believed that the Hashgacha couldn't stop him, because speech is an outgrowth of the mind. And unless Hashem is going to affect Bilam's thoughts, he can't affect his speech. And Hashem is trying to show him that no, speech can be separated, and there's an ability of creating speech apart from its source, from the source of speech, which is the internal part of man. And that's what the nase of the donkey is trying to teach Bilam. It's trying to show him this capability of separating speech from its source. And that, I think, explains that. Go ahead. You have a question? So I was thinking about that, but I wasn't going to say that. I was thinking perhaps that's a possibility. I was thinking maybe they maintain that the reason why there would be no Hashgacha is because of that reason. Because we hold or we maintain that the Hashgacha isn't going to affect man's free choice. And speech is just an outgrowth, because speech is secondary to the thoughts of man, the emotions of man. So in order for Hashem to change speech, he would also have to affect man's soul. And that Hashem doesn't do. He doesn't do that. So it's possible because of Bechira Chavshir. So it's definitely a possibility. I wasn't sure about that.
I'm not sure.
Right. That's true. You're right. It doesn't make as much sense with Moshe. I don't know if you have to say that. I was thinking more just the idea is that if it's an inherently connected to, it's like the ability of God to make water. Let's say, I was thinking is, perhaps there's a havamina that you can't make water dry, because the nature of water is to be wet. This is a famous logical point. So the nature of water is to be wet and not to be dry. So it's an impossibility for water to be dry, because by definition water is wet. So maybe the idea was that Moshe and Bilam viewed speech internally connected, intrinsically connected to its source, and they viewed it as impossible, an impossibility, almost like making water dry. They viewed it as an impossibility to separate speech, or for speech to exist apart from a source, from a human mind, from a source like that. But Hashem is showing them that no, that's the greatness of God's ability to control nature, that he's able to separate speech from mind, and they're not intrinsically connected the way that man perceives it. So that's what I was thinking. And the way that, I think with that idea, we can understand the Medrash over here in Avos, or the Chazal in Avos. What does it mean that it was created Ben Ashmashos? So the Ibn Ezra, in source number 10, he says, Amru Chazal, Shavsar Dvaram Nivru B'Arab Shabbos Ben Ashmashos, Ulfi Daiti, Shatam Shigazar Hashem, L'chadesh Be'oso Sa'ela, Shehem Chutz L'Toldos. These are outside of nature, meaning that there are miracles that are manipulations of nature. There's more quantitative, like there's more rain, or there's more there's more of something. Or, but here this seems to be a greater miracle in the sense that there's an intrinsic connection between, or at least man thinks that there's an intrinsic connection between speech and its source, and speech is really secondary to its source. So therefore, one would think that it can't be separated. It's impossible to exist on its own. So the reason why this is separated from other Nisim is because it's almost a change in the fundamental nature of how it was created, of speech being secondary to the mind of man or to the soul of man. So it's a different type of Nis. It's almost similar to what I said before, making water dry. Even though that's an impossibility because the nature of water is wet, this type of miracle is similar in the sense that the human nature was created that speech should be an outgrowth of man's thoughts and inner thoughts. And the chiddush over here of this creation is that it's unique that Hashem was able to separate speech as its own entity and utilize it in terms of this miracle and teach Bilam and Moshe this idea. So that's the chiddush. So the Havamina is saying that the Havamina of the thought process of Bilam and Moshe is that speech can't be disconnected from a source of speech, because speech is just an outgrowth of what a person's feeling, what a person's thinking. It's just a way to convey your inner thoughts. And the idea that Hashem's teaching them is, note that there is, even though they seem to be intrinsically connected, Hashem, because he understands how man was created, he's capable of separating the two, and he can create an independent speech, a speech that exists outside of a source, of a human source. So I think that's the idea of the miracle. So the miracle is trying to teach Bilam this idea that he's attempting to be mekalel the Jews, and he thinks that he can't be stopped, because he thinks that there's no way for Hashem to effectuate his speech without effectuating his mind, without effectuating his thoughts and his desires. And the idea is, no, that Hashem is capable of separating the two. He's capable of creating an entity of speech that exists outside of a human source. And that's a big chiddush. So that's why I think that Bilam had to be shown this miracle. And he was shown it through the verbalization of the donkey, that the donkey is an animal without any human capability, and yet the donkey is able to speak like a human. So you see that speech can be an entity on its own, can exist on its own. And that's a chiddush. Okay, so one other point. So the Ramban, last point. The Ramban says that the donkey didn't see the Malach. But Rabbeinu Bachya and the Rashi, they do say that the donkey saw the Malach. And they do say that this is a miracle of the donkey. So what's the purpose of this? So he says in source number 11, Rabbeinu Bachya says, Vayiftach ad Hashem es pi ha'ason, adas ha'pshat, dibor ha'ason nes gadol. It's a very great miracle. V'chutz mi derech ha'teva, v'haya zeh l'chavod Yisrael. So it's not within the norm of nature. And it was all done for the greatness, the kavod, the honor to Klal Yisrael. Ki ha'kadosh baruch hu, hifli lasos, v'rata l'shanos, sidrei breishis, b'dibor ha'behema. So he wanted to create a difference in the creation over here by allowing the animal to speak. Lomar shafilu ha'behema takir v'teda she'ena shlichus hazeh roi l'ha'asos. Even an animal understands that you shouldn't do this. V'inezek adam she'omer l'harim she'chasu u'l'gvos she'yiplu alav. It's like a man saying to a mountain to cover, or to a valley to fall on him. He's saying, "V'ainzarch lomar hamina enushi shehu maskil ki afilu abeima she'en la seichel taskil she'en roi lahaskin beklulas am ki baruchu." Even an animal, the idea of the animal speaking and speaking to Bilam is to teach Bilam that even an animal knows this reality, that it's impossible to curse the Jews because the Jews are blessed. So even an animal can see this. And the Rashi says something similar. Look in source number 12. He says, "Vateira ason v'hulo ra'a." So Bilam didn't see. God gave the animal the ability to see more than man. So man is more susceptible to being thrown off by seeing something that he's not expecting, and it could be more harmful. but he gave this animal the ability to see something that Bilam wasn't able to see. So what is that idea? Why was the animal, the Ason, able to see the Malach and Bilam wasn't? So I think the idea is that, based on the Rabbeinu Bachya, is that the source of Bilam's quest to really destroy the Jews was really his own ego, his narcissism. So he really believed that he was great. He believed that he was on this high level, and he believed he would be successful. So the idea of the Nes, according to Rabbeinu Bachya and the Rashi, is to really cut down the ego of Bilam, because by showing Bilam that the donkey can see something that Bilam, with all his great intellect and his great level of Nevius, couldn't see, by showing him that idea through this Nes, it was really a method of cutting down Bilam's ego and cutting down his whole source, the whole basis for him going to curse the Jews. And when Bilam saw that the donkey was able to perceive something that he wasn't, so that was something that even the great Bilam would affect, or it was meant to affect Bilam, to really be able to undercut the whole source of him going to be Makal of the Jews. So the last idea of the Shir is that the purpose of the Nes of the donkey was really to get at the underlying motivation of Bilam, which is that he was so narcissistic and egocentric that he believed that he can manipulate this situation. And really, by him thinking that, he was blind to a more underlying basic fact, basic knowledge. And the fact that the donkey is showing him this is really a cut down to the ego of Bilam, that he couldn't see an idea. I mean, he thought of himself as this great thinker, this great individual who would be capable of destroying a whole nation. And nevertheless, you couldn't see a clear idea, an idea that was so simple that even an animal can see. So that's really it's really a breakdown of the ego of Bilam. So that was the purpose of the Nes. And that could only be done through a Nes, because only if Bilam was told this idea, it wouldn't have the same effect. But once he sees that an animal can perceive something that he can't, so now that's already a breakdown of the ego of Bilam. And now he has to go back to square one and try to figure out whether he'll be successful or not. All right? So let's just summarize the shir. So tonight's shir was really on trying to deal with the idea of the miracle of the donkey. And there's three parts: the donkey's sight of the malach, the donkey's speech, and the idea of Chazal, that this miracle of the speech of the donkey was created by Hashmashos at the very end of creation. So we try to explain based on the Ramban. The Ramban says that the sight of the donkey wasn't a miracle, that the donkey didn't see the malach, it just sensed that there was something in front of it. But the donkey did speak, and he says that the purpose of his speech was to teach a concept to Bilam of Misam Pel Adam O Miyasum Ilim. And we saw that Moshe was taught the same idea, but Moshe didn't want to go take on the shlichus of Klal Yisrael, of Hashem, to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. He's also told Misam Pel Adam O Miyasum Ilim. So the question is, what's the connection between the two stories, and why do we need a Nes by Bilam to teach him this point? So the answer, we said, that was that speech, that the ability to speak in the mind of both Moshe and Bilam was tied to a human source, to the source, the underlying source, which is the emotions of man, the mind of man, the internal nature, the internal nefesh of man is really the source of speech. And speech is just conveying what a person is thinking, what a person's feeling. And Moshe and Bilam maintained or believed that speech was part of, was not a separate entity, but was really part of the underlying nature of man, and it couldn't be separated. And it's almost, like I said before, it's part of its nature to be connected to a source. And Hashem was showing both of them, well, he just had to teach Moshe this idea, but Bilam had to be shown this idea, which is that even Hashem has the ability to separate speech from its source, and he can create an entity of speech on its own, per se. And Bilam would see this through the miracle of the donkey, that a donkey that has no human mind, no human abstract thought, that a donkey is able to speak is really hitting at that idea, that point, that Hashem really controls speech and can even separate speech and create it as its own entity. And therefore, Bilam shouldn't think that he could effectively destroy and curse the Jewish people. And the last point was just Rashi and Rabbeinu Bachya, which I think are saying similar points, which is that the idea of the donkey was to undercut Bilam's motivation, or his underlying narcissism was really the source of his thinking, that he believed he could curse and destroy the Jews, and seeing a donkey perceive something that he couldn't was meant to show Bilam that he's really not as great as he thinks he is, and that he's really missing an underlying simple idea, a simple point. So the idea was that despite Bilam's great intellect and his belief that he was deserving of this and that he could be successful, he was the donkey was on a higher level than him, that he should see that even a simple animal could perceive the something that he missed, that he was blind to. So that's really the last point. All right, so everybody, have a good Shabbos. Thank you.